All right, you guys, here it is, the final weekly walk podcast of 99 Walks. And Eric and I thought it would be valuable, interesting, worthwhile to spend a little bit of time exploring some of the lessons that he and I have learned from this 5-year journey with this pack. Now, as we launch into this podcast, we sound pretty upbeat and positive because there are so many beautiful, deep, and important lessons that we have each learned. But I just want you to know, this is really, really hard for me. So the lessons are important. The journey has been beautiful, and I am deeply grateful to every single pack member who has walked with us these past 5 years. One last time, you guys, lace up your sneakers and let's get going. Hey, Eric.
Hey, Joyce.
This is it.
This is it.
Drum roll, please. Oh, pretty good. So this is the final 99 Walks weekly walk podcast, with the caveat that we may continue to podcast one day.
We may.
We are definitely taking a break through the end of the year and regrouping on every aspect of our life. But for now, our podcast days are behind us. But I don't know that I really want that, because sitting in this podcast booth with you and Moose sleeping at our feet and snoring at our feet — he's not snoring as much today because we just took him for a long walk, so now he's just sleepy — but I'm going to miss these conversations.
As will I, but we'll continue to have our conversations off air.
Really? We're going to keep talking to each other?
I think so.
All right. So
yes, we're going to say, what's for dinner? A thousand times.
No, we're not. You know why we're not?
Why?
Because I'm determined for us to start meal planning again.
Okay. I'm in.
Okay. Okay. So it's been a journey.
It has been a journey of, what, close to 5 years?
Yeah. So many ups and downs.
I think it was really one big fast up and sort of a long slow down. Does that describe it a little bit?
With maybe
ups and downs along the way. You're definitely right. But yeah, it's been a ride.
It's been a ride. So I thought it might be interesting to spend a little bit of time together reflecting on all that we have learned. I'm really reflecting on my personal and professional growth over the last 5 years. I feel like it has been, I suppose, everything led up to that. Everything I've done and experienced in my life led up to that. But if I were to chart the lessons learned, it's like it's a hockey stick of growth.
Yeah. So what's the first lesson?
Building a custom app from scratch is really hard, really expensive. And so I'm sure nobody knows this, but there have been times when I have logged on to Google for whatever reason, right? My email is Google driven and I use whatever, and Google's been down. Of course, it doesn't happen much because they're Google, but every now and then Google goes down. And I'm like, yes, even they have technical challenges.
Yeah.
Even their stuff doesn't work sometimes.
Yeah, it's hard. And you think, okay, you build an app, you put it in the store, and that's that. It's whatever.
Yeah, that's the other piece for sure.
But wow, like Apple and Google, the platforms, like, they just change stuff, and like there were times when they would just change stuff, not let anybody know, and completely break our app.
Yeah, I mean, occasionally, just speaking to the pack, like occasionally when your app wasn't working and you thought it was us, or there's a glitch and you think it's us, it literally is like, and not always, obviously, sometimes we've screwed things up, but Apple will go in and change something and not tell anyone. It's their little secret until your things break. So, okay, top level, building an app is really hard and really expensive and requires so much more care and feeding and upkeep than I ever imagined.
Yes, that's
lesson
one
number
thing.
One.
Lesson number two, sort of staring us in the face, is we learned how to do a podcast.
It's so funny because we talked about doing a podcast for years. And I remember this. So I have a cousin, a family member, who is a podcast expert, truly. Like, he was podcasting before anybody knew.
He was podcasting before they were even called podcast, I think.
Yeah.
He was like when it was like audio content.
Yep. And we had decided we wanted to do a podcast, and we invited him and his wife over for lunch with the very clear understanding of, we will feed you a delicious lunch. Will you tell us how to do this? And he wanted to talk about, what's your content? What's your story idea? What's your niche? And I was like, can you please just tell me what mic to buy and like how to get it from our podcast booth to wherever it's supposed to,
like, to someone's iPhone.
Exactly. How do I get the content from my brain to Patty's iPhone?
Right. So it goes out of my mouth through the little spit shield thing that's not actually a spit shield, into the microphone, down the wire, and I'm tracing the path, into the computer and onto this little software doohickey that has the little bars going. And how do we get it from there to someone's iPhone? Or how do we do that?
Correct.
So we figured it out.
We figured it out literally hundreds of times.
So that was something.
That was something. I deepened my knowledge of the power of community. So much of this started with our focus on the loneliness epidemic, which still persists. So I have a friend of mine, and I'm actually going to be a guest on her podcast sometime in the next couple of weeks. I've gotten her really interested in the loneliness epidemic from some conversations she and I have had. She's a podcaster, obviously, and a content creator. And the loneliness epidemic persists. It was noted before the pandemic. It got worse during the pandemic. We haven't fixed it. People are lonely. People are disconnected. We are not living the way in the kind of communities, and I don't mean physical communities, I mean interpersonal communities, that we crave as humans. So continuing to dig into the depth of the challenge, but then also seeing what happens when you create a community where you encourage and allow and support people to show up as their true selves. And then you ask the other members of the community to be supportive.
You know, what's sort of interesting is in the 99 Walks Facebook group, you know, I go in there and lurk every now and then.
You're a lurker.
I'm a lurker, and I comment on stuff, but, you know, I go check it out.
But mostly you lurk.
Yeah, I check it out, fair bit, I don't know, a couple times a week, whatever. And we've had this feature in the app, when you open it up, how many people are walking at a given time. And it's been there forever. But it seems to me that I've noticed just in the last 3 months that many people in the group have shared in the Facebook group, like, I'm walking with 27 of my 99 Walks pack members. I'm walking with, 15 of my 99 Walks sisters this morning. And it just seems like it's sort of was more consistent that people were sharing this recently that I thought was an interesting observation.
Mm-hmm. Community, so. Community, community.
Yep. So one of the things that I learned is really all the value of walking. I mean, we've always walked. We conceptualized 99 Walks as a business and community on a walk. We were actually on vacation when we did that because we walked. And so, but all the things I learned about walking as exercise, as mental benefit to your brain and your mood and like all that, basically
everything I taught you,
everything you've put in two books, I learned all that, which is just eye opening for me, you know, Mr. CrossFit and intensity and all that stuff, and I think that the walking that we've done and built and regularity of it has helped my mind, my mood, and my body. And I've learned all about that over the last 5 years.
When I looked at the pile of research, so the research for the book, Why Walk, which is more science and research driven than my first book. My first book was really much more on mindset and things that I think we should all think about. And the second book was a deep dive into the transformative power of an intentional walking practice. It was like 14 inches of research, if you stack it up. And that's not even counting everything I read online. Now, those are the like studies that, because I'm old, I needed to print out and read with a highlighter like I was a 23-year-old law student, because I still don't know how to like absorb things I read online. And it was interesting that you say that, because of course I feel the same, that I just learned so much. I mean, I learned about hormones and I learned about cannabinoids. I don't know if I know.
Endocannabinoids?
I learned all about them. I still can't pronounce them. God, I learned about foot strength. You know, I'm still obsessed about foot strength.
Mm-hmm.
So all of that. And there's another, there was another lesson in that for me, aside from everything I learned and everything I distilled into the book. There were two more lessons in that. One is I could have kept researching forever.
Oh, interesting.
So when you do legal research, when I learned to do legal research back in the day, you knew you were getting close to the end of your research because your research became cyclical. And what I mean by that is you read one case and it refers to cases you've already read. And you read those cases and they refer to cases that you've already read. And you sort of feel like you have now explored and researched the entire ecosystem around whatever the question and issue is. I never got to that place in the walking research. And I read thousands of studies and I still don't feel like I saw it all. So there's that piece of it, which is...
So you learned that there's still more to be learned.
Yes. And then the other thing I learned,
mm-hmm.
which I guess I knew theoretically, but not in practice. I cannot begin to express how much knowledge and research there is available to every single one of us for free. I mean, those of us who grew up without the internet.
With the World Book Encyclopedia?
Which was wrong by the time they published it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Because knowledge just speed of light. But I'm like, if there's anything, so I just sort of put that out there to the pack. If there's anything you want to know, there's stuff out there about it.
Well, were we with you, Tom and Laura, and we were asking questions,
oh,
I think,
yeah.
And we were like, I wonder, we were watching tennis matches, and it's like, I wonder if that person's ever, you know, gotten to the final before. And I think it was Tom would be like, why don't we just ask the computer in our pocket? And that was like his response, like to three or four different things that came up that day. So it's, you know, any question you have, just ask the computer in your pocket.
Is that good? Yeah, but here's the thing. I push back a little bit against that advice.
Okay.
Because asking the computer in your pocket for a quick answer is going to get you a quick and shallow answer. And that's part of the challenge too, right? I'm not talking about a quick and shallow answer. I am talking about the ability to go really deep into a topic that's really meaningful to you.
Yeah, I was referring more to sort of like a factoid.
But, you know, I mean, we have a challenge with our kids who will spew factoids because they asked the computer in their pocket and they didn't dig deeper. So my thought around this is really about the depth of knowledge available to us. I feel pretty strongly about that. This.
Yeah, I agree. There's just so much out there. And I think it was in the last 5 years, I don't know if I was really aware of this much before, I certainly didn't need it before, was some of the resources out there like PubMed, this website that just publishes studies, you know, somewhat medical and physical
so
related,
actually,
but there's just this huge resource out there.
Share the story, your little journey on this random supplement you so I will kick off the conversation. So you called me several days ago and said, listening to a podcast that's done by a very, very well-respected doctor who's an expert in longevity and wellness and exercise physiology. And she had on a guest who was talking really knowledgeably about this supplement that sounds really great. And Eric and I take some supplements. We are very, very conservative in that, in what we will put in our bodies on a regular basis, but we're always looking to learn. So you called me and said, this supplement, which I don't even know the name of, it doesn't matter, sounds really interesting. I think we should explore it.
Yep.
And so, then what happened?
So I went online and Googled this supplement and studies and results and I think fitness or health or whatever it was. And I didn't spend a ton of time, but with, 10 minutes of looking, the studies that I found...
That you actually read?
That I read and went to the conclusions said that this supplement did not show significant improvement versus a placebo in the desired outcome. However, there was some small indication that maybe it would have a benefit here and further research is needed. So the way they were talking about it was that this will make you run faster and jump higher.
And live longer.
And live longer and healthier and better and perform better. And they were talking about it like they had a study that they could hold up, like I'm holding up a piece of paper and say, look right here, this proves it. And maybe they do have that study, but they're keeping it secret because it was not available on their website. It was not available on the internet. And it really was disappointing to have this well-respected person shilling for this product that may or may not do what they claim.
So the moral of that story is we all have this incredible gift that the current world has given us, which is access to real information.
Exactly. So I think that's one of the things that we learned over the last 5 years is to that deep dives pay off.
Deep dives pay off.
Yep.
And what, if anything, have you learned about yourself?
Well, I've always known that I can be pretty gritty when it comes to work, but I've reinforced that. I also learned that I'm not too old to learn new skills. My background for most of my career was in sales. And over the last 5 years, I've really learned a ton about digital marketing and really learned a whole new skill set, basically a whole new profession in 5 years.
And that's what you've learned about yourself.
that I have the capacity to learn and discover new things.
Were you resistant to that? I feel like you've always been pretty open to willing to learn new things. You like to learn new things.
Yeah, I sort of felt that maybe I was pigeonholing myself a little bit career-wise. So I think that I learned that. What else have I learned about myself over the last 5 years? I'll have to think about it. What have you learned about yourself over the last 5 years?
Nothing.
Really?
What have I learned about myself? I have learned, and I reserve the right to change my mind, but at the moment, I have learned that burnout is real and that I am tired. And I don't mean like tired, like, oh yeah, I'm tired of that. I mean, I am deeply exhausted from the journey, 25-year journey of building.
Mm.
The pressure that I have put on myself to build something, to impact the world, to change the world, has fueled me for sure. But right now, it's exhausting, or I'm exhausted by it. So what I have learned is that right now, I do not want to build. Really what I want to do, as you know, is help other people build in a smaller and more intimate kind of way. So I've learned that about myself. This may come as a surprise to you.
Okay.
But I've learned that I have a tendency to overstuff my days.
Shocker.
Right? Who knew? I don't know that I've learned not to do that. So I think all I've managed to learn is that I have that tendency. I have not yet learned how to ameliorate that tendency.
To understuff your days.
I don't even know how to properly stuff my days.
Yeah. So, I think one of the things that I learned about myself is I do like teaching and sharing more than I thought. So one of my favorite things, though it was a bit of a challenge to be as regular as I like, was recording my walking classes. I did enjoy that once I could actually find the time in my overstuffed day to sit down and do that. But I did enjoy that. I did enjoy being one-on-one with people or being with groups when we held events. So I think that side of my personality and even professional side is something that I enjoy more than I realized. So I think that's a key learning of the last 5 years.
So if we're looking at the last 5 years, even beyond 99 walks, which is really what we're talking about. But you know, something else I learned over the last 5 years, launching your kids into the world is so hard. It was terrible.
Well, we were fortunate. We love where we live. We live in this little bubble, and our kids were in the bubble for their first 17 and a half, 18 years. And then launching them out into the bubble is...
I mean, out of the bubble.
Out of the bubble, out into the bigger bubble, is hard and scary.
For me, it wasn't launching them out into the world. I wasn't particularly worried. Of course, I worry about them. You worry about your kids all the time. But it wasn't that. It was my emotional launching the kids. Like, this idea that you raise them and you love them with all of your heart and soul and you care for them, and then you're just supposed to let them go out there and adult?
Well, I shared this with you. Our son, who's now 23, and he actually came to us. And what did he say? His frontal lobe is coming in.
Yeah, the last time we saw him, he said, "So I noticed the other day that my frontal lobe is developing." I said, "Oh, so interesting. What drew you to that conclusion?" And he said, "You want to tell the story? You don't
I
even
don't
remember."
remember the exact
Okay,
phrase. I remember the concept.
he said, "I was crossing the street the other day and I realized that I could get hit by a car and die." So that does, I suppose, give you a little bit more confidence with him out in the world now that at least he knows that's a thing that could
Right.
happen if you don't pay attention when you cross the street. So get your nose out of your phone.
But in my head, and I've shared this with you a couple times, like I still picture him as our 19-year-old son. Like not quite an adult, not as assured in the world, not as capable as he is, and he continues to demonstrate his capacity and capabilities in tremendous, awesome ways. But and maybe I'm just sort of having this realization that it's part of me wanting to keep him. You know how like people say, "Oh, I wish they could stay a baby forever." Like
You just want him to stay 19?
I want him to stay 19 forever.
Well,
But he's not. He's a grown ass man. He could bench press me like 20 times. It's crazy.
I'm still 26. I'm still my 26-year-old self, so.
I vacillate between my 14-year-old boy self and like 32-year-old man self. So, yeah, I mean, these are all kinds of things. And the business has been such an integral part of our life that I think the fact that we have these themes in 99 Walks, that we talk about growth, that we talk about the power of walking, mind, mood, and body. I think all of those things have sort of led to specific work learnings and work growth and life learnings and life growth as well.
For sure, that brings me to kind of a realization that I came to some time ago. You know, people sometimes say, men in particular, sorry, but it's true, it's not personal, it's just business. And usually they say that when they've done something crappy.
Right.
But the reality is that business is personal, especially as entrepreneurs, but for everybody. You spend a lot of time doing the work that you do, whatever that work is. It is personal. It's part of your makeup. It's where you learn. It's where you grow. It's the people with whom you engage. Work is personal. And this idea of entirely separating and not bringing home, right? Don't bring home the stress of work. If anybody's actually really figured that out, let me know.
Yeah, I've heard parables or anecdotes about it, but I don't know how true those are. But yeah, and especially this line of work, because as you said, it's been our goal to change people's lives, to change the world, to make the world a better place, and build a community. And the only way that you can build a community is by being authentic and putting your, frankly, heart and soul into it.
Yeah, that's
You
right.
know, people, if you are trying to build a community without being authentic, people will sniff that out a mile away and you're done. And you know, you in particular, I think have done that with purity.
Oh, thank
So,
you.
yeah, you're welcome.
Not easy.
Not easy.
And I suppose the last thing we've learned is that change is inevitable.
The only constant is change. And when things are good, they're not necessarily going to stay that way. And when things are bad, they definitely won't stay that way. Things just change. And we talked about this a lot in the last podcast about being present and walking the mile you're in. And things just change. And that's where we are with 99 walks and this journey, and things are changing. And people are going to be walking more with Coach Carrie, and I think that's a good change. And we're going to be working on some new projects, working on ourselves, working a little more one-on-one with people, and we are embracing that change. And I would reach out to you listeners to find new podcasts, to embrace that change, find new communities, build communities,
Build, I like that better. Build, you guys, build some communities.
and embrace Coach Carrie. And yeah, the change, I think, is more likely to be good than bad. And I think a lot of good is going to come to all of us over the next steps in our journey.
I agree. Hey, Eric,
Hey, Joyce.
it's been awesome.
My pleasure.